Thank you, Brother Aubrey. Again, good day, everyone. We are delighted to be with you. Indeed, I've been here only a few times before, and just about every one of those times, except for 5 minutes, I always sat there. I never stood here. Believe me, it's a little more comfortable sitting down there than it is standing up here. But we'll do our thing with the help of the Lord. It's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all, and grandfathers as well. Let me share with you what I was given this morning. I am a grandfather just 2 weeks old, and this is what it says. It makes me sound old here, grandfather. This brings an extra special wish. No other kind would ever do to wish a happy Father's Day to a special papa, you. The little one is just 2 weeks old. God is good to us. It can cry, it can sleep, it can eat. I think it does what all the other little kids do, little babies do. And God is good and God is great. I've been to Abaco a few weeks back. Were any of you there at Abaco, please, when I was there? No, so that makes me feel a little more comfortable. I've been at Spanish Wells a week or so ago. Were any of you for Spanish Wells, please? Oh, I'm a little uneasy. Okay, but at least I'm home. There's a few faces that I recognize here and there, so I'm not a complete stranger, and that is good. I hope that is good. Grandfather. The certain grandfather crossed the Atlantic Ocean and went to America to visit his little grandson, just 7 years old. And they happened to meet in the front room. And there sat the grandson and there sat the grandfather. And the grandfather noticed that the grandson was looking at him pretty hard. They had never met before, you see. So the grandfather turned to him. He says, "Sonny boy," he says, "don't be afraid of me. I'm your grandfather," he says, "on your father's side." The little fellow looks at him. He says, "I'll tell you right now, you're on the wrong side." Yes, you see, the mother's always out in front. Always out in front. A certain young man lived at home for quite a while, and then he left home. He had Christian parents, and he went out there and he did his own thing for quite a while. And he came back home, and parents met him, and, "Oh," he said, "I'm a different man, I'm a different man. Look at my knees," he says. "The knees of my pants are worn out," he said. "I'm a praying man," he said. "I know God now, I'm a praying man." So they had fellowship together, and finally he got up to walk away a bit, and they noticed the back of his pants was worn out too. They say, "Hey, son," he says, "what happened to the back of your pants?" He says, that's from backsliding. So we're all at home. We're up here with God sometimes, but we're never always up here, aren't we? There are times when, unfortunately, we're down here. We're down here. The world doesn't see us when we're backsliding, and maybe in the true sense of the word, we haven't backslidden, but somehow we've lost the close contact with our God, and we're not there anymore. We're down here. Our love may ebb and flow, but his love remains the same because no change Jehovah knows. That's good to have a God that never changes, one that can relate to us in all of life's circumstances, one that knows all about us, all about us. Open the word, please. And turn to 2 Kings. My wife would have loved to have been here today. She's not well just now. She's been a little shaky these past few weeks. She's been battling the Parkinson's disease for some 16 and a half years. It's been somewhat rugged the past year or two. Matter of fact, it's been very rugged. Physically, mentally, and financially. The medication is so expensive, it would have been more rugged yet if a certain company deals in medication, Brother Lowe, for instance, Lowe's Pharmacy, has seen fit and loved to give us a 20% discount, and that has helped us tremendously. But pray for my wife. Pray for my wife. She loves the Lord, and sometimes she wonders why this is so. But I've said to her that maybe this is her lot in life. You see, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And he prayed three times for God to remove that thorn, but God said no. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. Based on that, he says the same thing to you and me when we come into contact with obstacles and adversities that we can't throw aside. He too says to us, my grace is sufficient for you. Because you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why we love him. That's why we worship him. That's why we serve him. Because we know he is God. And beside him there is none other. 2 Kings chapter 3, please. I came across this some time ago, and it's an unusual text. But the Spirit of God said to me, says, this, deal with this, study this. There's something in this for you and for all others like you. All others like you. It's good to have my son Carson with us. He just turned 17 in April 14th. And back there when he was 4 or 5 years old, let me share a little thought with you. I went to pick him up at school one day, and we stopped at the traffic light. He was only 4 or 5, and I let the name go deep, Carson, remember, Carson. And these three huge motorbikes zoomed past us, and he was taken up with those motorbikes. He patted me on the shoulder. He said, Daddy, Daddy, why did you and Mommy call me Carson? Why not motorbike son? I thought that was real funny. And then no more than a month or two later, believe it or not, I picked him up again. I don't think he minded. When he was 12 years old, he said, Daddy, don't preach about me today, please. But now he's 17. He can deal with it. And, can't you, son? And I picked him up. He had this second-place ribbon. I said, second place again? I said, 4 or 5 times you've been second. Why not first? He says, couldn't come first today, Dad. He says, you know who came first today? That young fella, he says, he was wearing Michael Jordan tennis, he says. Couldn't beat him today. Couldn't come first today. Even back there then, you know, advertising cuts the eye and catches the eye and the mind. Because he had a certain pair of tennis, he couldn't be beaten that day. But we don't have tennis, but we have the Spirit of God. And we can be beaten, can we? Because we are more than conquerors. Hey, that's Eddie. More than conquerors through him that loved us. And that gave himself for us. Yeah. We are on the victory side. We are more than conquerors. We know where we're going. The land that is fairer than day. Fairer than day. 2 Kings chapter 3, please, beginning to read at verse 6. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. And he said, which way shall we go up? And he answered, the way through the wilderness of Edom. So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the hosts and for the cattle that followed them. No water. Look down at verse 16, please, to get our text. We'll go up down to that step by step. But 16, and the prophet said, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Make this valley full of ditches. Our thoughts perhaps will be centered around digging ditches. Digging ditches. I find that this thing is so amazing, so spectacular, so breathtaking, so that three kings could unite with their armies to go into battle. No doubt there were thousands of soldiers, thousands of horses, and a countless gathering, a countless number of swords and shields and what have you. Lots of horses, lots of men, and a whole lot of armament. And so you would say, hey, that's a perfect picture. Wherever they go, they can be winners. Nothing wrong with that. That looked fine. That looked fine. But something was wrong with that picture. Something was wrong with that that exercise. There was something lacking. There was something lacking. They thought they had it all together. But something was lacking. The same is true of so many people in the world today. They think that they have it all together. The education is number one. Their job is perfect. Their bank account looks fine. Their health is fine, and they believe that they have it all together. There's nothing wrong with this system. They say, hey, I have it in place. I have it made, but there is something wrong. There is something wrong. There was something wrong with that army back in those days. They had no water. How tragic. How sad. How foolish to go to war with such a great and important essential being left out. No water. What can we do even in one day without a drink of water? But here they are going into battle with everything except this important factor, this important necessity, no water. So it is with the man and woman in the world today. They have it all together, but there's one thing not in place. Jesus is not there. Jesus is not there. The one that should be there. The one that gives a true meaning to life. The one that gives us something to live for, that's the one that they've left out. They've left out. And we know, those of us who have touched base with Jesus, those of us who are born again, those of us who know that Jesus is still the answer for the world today, we know that sooner or later, they're coming to a bad case. They're going to meet obstacles and tribulations and adversities which they cannot deal with in their own strength. And in light of that, some inside of our family, and some outside of our family, we who know God, we pray for them because we know, just around the bend, things will not be as pleasant there as they are here. And so we pray for these loved ones of ours out there, and for our friends who are yet without Christ, who think that they have all that it takes, who think that they have their act together, who believe that they have it made. And we know, based on the Word and based on our experiences, that this is not a true picture. This is not the way it should be. Down the road soon, today, tomorrow, next week, down the road, they're going to meet an obstacle. Their health will give way. Their mind perhaps will give way. I was raking my yard just recently, and I had a huge rake, bigger than myself, and across the road was this fellow with a much smaller rake. And I met him raking the yard, so I said to myself, hey, I should say hello to him. And he's not all here, by the way. And George has done the poor fellow in. I said, hello there, how are you? He stopped and he looked at me, says, he doesn't bear me any ill will, but this is the way his thoughts came. He said, we wasn't born in the same place, you know. I looked at him and I very calmly said, but we could very well die in the same place. Are you ready for that? And he looked at his small rake and he looked at my big rake and he never said anything else. Now, I didn't mean it the way he took it, but it's true. There's so many out there that feel like they got it together, whether their minds are good or not. They're good or not. They feel like they just need Jesus. They feel like they can go along a life's way and just push Jesus aside and forget all about the author and the finisher of our faith. But we know different. We know different because we've proved it, that day after day we needed him. Week after week we needed him. And we wonder how the world can live without him. We wonder how some of you can live without him. Perhaps some of you are still outside of Christ. Perhaps there's one or two in our gathering this morning who are not born again, who are still in your sin. Listen. It will not be the way it is now. Down the road, just around the corner, you will need God. You will need to know Jesus Christ. You will need a friend who sticketh closer than a brother, the Word says, and this is the one that we're here to tell you about today, Jesus. The one who will save you and keep you, because nothing this truth can dim. He gives the very best to those that put their trust in him. Too often we seem to be gathered around ourselves. Even the Christians, sometimes we feel like, hey, I've got it made, you know, things are good with me, and I'll go to church once a week, and I'll sing the songs of Zion, and things will be fine with me. But the problem is, that is wrong, too. I recall a little when something like this. Today I had a battle. The fight was hard and long. My opponent was so stubborn, and I knew him to be wrong. We didn't need a referee because when we were through, the decision was unquestioned, nor did we start anew. I never did like fighting, and yet I failed to see how I could help but cheer a bit when I had conquered me. Too often that's the problem. Me. I won't give God the preeminence in my life. But oh, it's a joy, you know, to lean on his everlasting arms and to kneel at the cross and to yield our all to him and to let him follow. Then let us follow where he leadeth and pasture where he leadeth. Father's Day, a special day, but it's special for us, not only because we have a pleasant family, and I pray to God that things are good there, but it's also a precious day to us because we have a precious Lord, one that has saved us way back there. You recall the day when you trusted Jesus, when he came into your heart and life and washed your sins away. I recall so well back there occurring some 45 years ago, when Mr. Andrew Higgs was preaching the gospel message based on the story from the Old Testament where the children of Israel were requested or demanded by God to apply the blood to the doorpost, and when I see the blood, he says, I will pass over you. As Mr. Higgs looked at the audience that night, he said, hey, has the blood been applied to your heart and life? Are you born again? And I knew I wasn't. I knew I was still outside the ark of safety. And I came to Jesus that night and asked forgiveness of sin. And he has been a precious Lord to me ever since. I've been a bad child, but he's been a perfect father. Every time I've called him, he's answered. Oh, he's a good God. That's why we come to worship him. That's why we come to remember him, because we know that from him all blessings flow. I went by the hospital some time ago, and I was visiting the ward, having prayer with this one and that one and another one, and I came across this gentleman. He drew my attention. He was such a pleasant-looking gentleman, and I went by his bedside, and I said, how are you doing, sir? Can I have a word with you? He says, yes, please do. He said, sit here. He said, I'm having surgery tomorrow. And he told me what kind of surgery he was having, and I said, hey, I had that same surgery. Remind me, tell you about my surgery, please. I had that same surgery last year. He said, oh, you did. You did. He said, that's good. Tell me all about it. He said, are you well? Are you okay? How was it? And I told him all about it. He said, hey, if God did so good for you, maybe he'll do the same for me. And then I told him about God, about the destruction on the boat and how that God brought us through. And he was there, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Every time I said something outstanding, he said, praise the Lord. Finally, he stopped. He said, you know, he says, I'm not a Christian. I said to myself, wow, you mean all of this stuff and all of these amens, and he's still not a Christian? He said, I want to be saved. He said, how can I be saved? He said, my daughter is saved. My son is saved. He's back in Miami. He said, pastor of a church, but I'm not saved. He said, how does one get saved? He said, and if you're saved, he says, are you born again? I said, oh, Lord, this is heavy. Help me, please. And so I took a little testament out of my pocket, and I turned to John 3:16, and I let him read it. He was 69 years old from Grand Bahama. He was there to have surgery, and he read it. Then I turned to Romans 10:9, and he read it. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And he went back to the word. He said, believe. You mean that's all in it? I said, yes, that's all in it. You simply believe and Jesus saved you. He said, I want to believe now. I want to be saved now. And with the Spirit of God's help, I took him to Calvary. And there I pointed out Jesus. And he confessed his sin. And the Spirit of God came in on that special occasion. I know he didn't save that poor man. He says, hey, I'm so, and when I left, he was still pointing at the word, only believe, he said, only believe. I went back 2 days later to touch base with him. They're taking him out for tests. I went back again 2 days later, they're taking him to the, wherever they called the unit to do surgery. I said, I'm not going to catch him anymore. Sunday morning following that, 9 o'clock in the morning, God said to me, go now. And I went by the hospital, and he was in the ICU, they said. And I went, and then he saw me coming, his face lit up. Oh, he said, you still come back to see me? I says, yes, I came back to see you. He says, hey, you're a real Christian. He says, I believe, you know, I believe. And I had prayer with him. He was such a happy person because he had found one that could give him happiness. He had found a God who could bring him peace and joy. That's why he was happy. That's why we're happy, church. Say amen. Say amen. Amen. That's why we're happy, because our happiness is found in him, not in circumstances, not in the bank account, not in how well we look in the mirror, none of that stuff, but our happiness is found in Jesus. Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within his favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. There was no water. There was no water. Verse 10. And the king of Israel said, alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord, that he may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. Ah, beloved, men of God, women of God, we have the answer for the world. We should stand up and be counted. We should let the world see our good works, that they will glorify our Father which is in heaven. It's good to have someone come our way and say, hey, the word of God is with him. The word of God is with her. He's a Christian. She's a Christian. I know it. I see it in their lives. That's good for that to happen, to know that the word of God is with us. I recall back there some years ago, I was at sea. A certain young man came one night. I sensed he had a problem. He seemed to be much more quieter than usual. And I felt this person knocking on my side, like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I opened my eyes, and it was this certain young man. He said, I want you to come up and pray with me, he said. Then he knocked a certain young man, and he asked him the same thing. Come out, he said, and pray with me. I have a problem. I want to know the Lord. And we went on deck of the boat, and me and the other fellow, we prayed for this young man. He was my son, by the way. And the following day, the captain of the boat, he was told of this incident, how that this young man had awakened me and another young man, to point him to God. And the captain got annoyed. He said, how come he never came to me? How come he never woke me? And he went on like a foolish man for a while. I said, hold it. I said, maybe he didn't see in you what you think is in you. He didn't see in you that you have the Lord, that you love the Lord. He didn't see it, and so he didn't awaken you. Yeah. The world can see whether we mean business for Jesus or not, you know. Oh, yeah. And those in our churches, they know whether we mean business. They know if the word of the Lord is with us. They can see, they can tell, because they touch base with us day after day, and they know. Oh, if only, you and I could be more like him, so that others around us in the world, and even our own family members, could point to him and say, the word of the Lord is with him. The word of the Lord is with her. It would be her. Verily, verse 12, midway, so the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him, and Elijah said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. And the king of Israel said unto him, nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. But bring me a minstrel. Bring me a minstrel. It seemed like the man of God. Let's stop for a minute. It seemed like the man of God on that occasion sensed that he didn't have the full answer. He didn't have the complete answer from the Lord, and he must wait a bit. He must inquire a bit. Bring me a minstrel, he says. They that wait upon the Lord, says the word, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But they must wait upon him. No, I don't always have the answer to every problem. You don't always have the answer to every problem. The answer is in the Word and in the Spirit of God. And oftentimes, we have to wait upon the Lord to bring us a clear picture, to give a clear answer for the situation. And after the minstrel, it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Oh, yeah. We know when God is with us. Back there, 3 years ago, I went to the doctor. I was very ill. I had been ill for 3 or 4 weeks. It was summertime and my money was pretty low. My money is pretty low even in the winter time, but that's only by the way. And I hesitated a bit. Finally, I went. And he did an examination. He says, we must have some tests taken. And come back in 3 days. So I went back in 3 days. He come, he says, you're a very sick man. I say, doctor, I know that. He says, yeah. He says, your liver is in bad array. He says, you look the worst, he says, of any patient that passed through my office this year. What do you think of a doctor like that? Tell me something like that. He's frightened me to death almost. He says, but he says, we'll go along and see what happens. And I went, they'll take some further tests, he says. And he took some further tests and he gave me medication and I went home. And the third day, I think, of my second round of illness, I then took my devotional, my brown devotional, and I sat on the back steps daybreak. I opened the door and then the banana trees were there and the birds were flying. It was a beautiful scene. And I said, Lord, I said, I want you to tell me now what's going to happen to me. I said, you know that I want to work more for you. And there's nothing too hard for you. I said, God, I said, when I open my devotional, on the right-hand side of my devotional will be your answer to me. Yeah, we should know when God is speaking to us. We should know when we can reach out by faith and find, because He's there, you see. What he did for others of yesterday, he can do for us today. He hasn't changed. I opened my devotional, beloved. I opened my devotional, and there it was in big, bold writing. Said this, I shall not die, but I shall live and sing his praises. I said, wonderful Lord, thank you, Lord. I went to the doctor 2 days later. He says, the test has come through. He says, it's amazing, he says. Your recovery is second to none. He said, I can't understand it. I said, I can. I said, it's him. The doctor was a Christian too. Yes, he said, it has to be him. It has to be him. Amazing. God came through and did it. One day I'll become sick. And I won't be healed because, hey, we're going one day. But meanwhile, our God can still do great things. Our God can still do marvelous things. Okay, you're real serious, and it's good to be serious, but let's relax a bit. A certain friend of my daughter's, she's in town now, in a tragic accident 2 nights ago, she and her husband, suffered a rooster, lost control of the car ran into a pole, and it's a complete write-off, but a little injury here and one here, but they're doing well considering what they came through. But this same lady heard my story of my deliverance and God speaking to me. And she took her Bible. Last year she had a bout of illness. And then this story came to me. It was almost hilarious. She said, I know what I'll do. I'll take my devotional and I'll open my back door and I'll sit there and I'll say, Lord, you speak to me. So she did that. And she went and she says, and I opened my devotional, she says, and there it was. She says, you know what it says? Get your house in order, for tomorrow you shall die. She said, oh Lord, she said, no. She said, she closed that book and she went about her way. She didn't die, however, she's still living. Yeah, the Lord speaks in loud tones sometimes, but he speaks. Oh yeah, he hasn't stopped speaking, you know. And he hasn't stopped delivering. and he hasn't stopped saving, and he hasn't stopped keeping, and he hasn't stopped loving. He's the same, he's the same. Praise God, he's the same. Where are we? The Lord was upon him. We're down to the last of verse 15, weren't we? That the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Here the three armies united as one. They were all out of water. Here comes the prophet of the Lord, and he says, hey, you see this valley here? He says, God says that you must make this valley full of ditches. And they want water. They don't want ditches. No doubt they searched for water all around the place. But apparently and surprisingly, this is what happened. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, verse 17, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. God will not only give you water, he says, but he will bring you victory. He will bring you victory. Can't you just picture those armies that night? Man after man digging a ditch, digging ditches. The valley must be full. Everybody's digging the ditches. May ask an hour, hey, is there any water in your ditch? No, not a drop yet. Further down, you down in the back there, what about your ditches? Are there any water in your ditches? No, not a drop, not a drop. And further down, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, ditch after ditch was dug, but there was no water. There was no water. You see, time and time again, God will try us. God will not always come through when we want him to come, but he will come in his time. He's never too early, and he's never too late. But he will do something good for us, because what the word says, that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So regardless of whether God says yes, they are not. You see, God's delays are not God's denials. Can I repeat that again? God's delays are not God's denials. In his time, he will come through. He will come through. He has to come through. Based on his word, he says, you ask and I'll give you. You seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And God will be true if the entire world fails. Indeed, he must stand upon his promises. Heaven and earth may pass away, but this word will abide forever. Forever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, he says, dig this valley full of ditches. Full of ditches. My carve is down in March. I hope you don't mind these illustrations, do you? My carve is down in March, down to the shop. And I had to do a few things in Palmdale, and a friend of mine dropped me there. And I did my errands and what have you, and I got finished. I stood in front of United Bookshop, and I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I have some money for a cab. I said, but all of these people in this city, must I hire a cab to get out to church? I don't think that's required. Honest, I talked to him just like that, like that. And within 4 minutes, the neighbor drove by, and he stopped. He says, how are you doing? Where are you headed? I said, I need to go to church. Jump in, he said, no problem. And he took me by church. I did my work there. And I went by PMH to do my visitation. And after that, coming down the steps now, heading toward the main door, Brother Pender knows, because he's been there many times. I said, Lord, I said, now I need trans again. I said, I have enough money to get home, but all these people that you have in the city, must I hire to get home? Before I got to the door, beloved, before I got to the door, within 6 feet, a voice behind me hollered, Elliot! And I turned around, and there was this young lady. I hadn't seen her in 15 years. She was nursing there. She says, what's happening? Why are you here? And I told her the story. She says, hey, I'll take you home. And she took me home. Listen. God is real, you know. God is real. If we trust him, if we lean upon his promises, if we learn to follow him, if we walk the straight and narrow, he will be himself. He must be himself because he is God and there is beside him there is none other. God said yes that day. Twice, huh? Sometimes he says no. No, they're not too easy to deal with. 3 days later, my car was still down. I went to the hospital. I did my visitation and I said, Lord, now I'm going home. So I started to walk to the door and I didn't hear any voice in the back. And I say, well, I'm going to soon holler. But I got by the door and there was no voice. I said, well, they must be outside. And I went outside. There was no one there that I knew. And I walked to Shirley Street. I say, well, someone coming soon. Because after all, I shouldn't be walking. So I thought. And I went to Shirley Street. And there was no one. And then I walked down to Doctor's Hospital. And someone passed for the needy. They were going the wrong way, though. So I continued down and I stopped by a friend, an unsaved friend, and I had a word with him. And then I walked home all the way past Wendy's on Mackey Street. I live in the back there. And I had walked all that day and God hadn't sent anyone to pick me up. That day his answer was no. But maybe, just maybe he would have me go by the friend to do the visitation. Maybe that's one reason. Maybe too, my stomach might be getting a little too big and I need to lose some weight and do some exercising. Maybe all of that is in it. But all I know is he said yes one day and he said no another. And he is sovereign. And he will deal with us as he sees fit. And we're happy that he does that because his wisdom supersedes ours. We can't see around the bend, but he can. And he's always there. He goes with us and he's there before us. He's even behind us. We are surrounded by him and his mercies and his blessings and his goodness. They're with us. Constantly. Amazing. Fill this valley full of ditches, digging ditches. They dug ditches by faith. They didn't know anything about God. But the prophet had said, you must dig ditches if you want water, and so they dug their ditches. Now, we know a good bit about God. We know that God answers prayer. We know that God is working in our hearts and in our lives, and we know he's still in the saving business. We have some friends and family members that still aren't saved. Tell me, are we digging ditches of faith today? Do we dig our ditch day after day and say, Lord, you can do this. I want you to do this. Lord, we want you to come through in this area and help us here. Digging ditches for God by faith. How often do we do that today? Or must we see it in order to believe it? Or must we hold it in our hand in order to know it's there? No, by faith. By faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must operate by faith. We must go out there and do things for him. Do great exploits for our God because he loves for his people. To walk by faith and to depend on him to do the supernatural while we do that which is natural. When we've done our best, angels can't do more. Then, when we've done our best, God will do his. But I tell my friends and family, and if I say, hey, we must do our part, whether it's physical, mental, spiritual, material, whatever it is, we must do our part. Until we do our part, God will not do his. But when we've gone the last step of the way and we can do no more, then when we reach out by faith and we say, Lord, you come in, you do your thing, he comes in. And he does it. My mother prayed for her children and her husband that's backslidden back there at Current. She had 7 of the children that professed to be saved, but they were away from the Lord, including yours truly. But then a certain brother came by Current. We had a special series of meetings. But my mother kept praying for God and believing that God would save and restore. She didn't give up. Oh, she was a precious mother. She walked by faith. During that revival, most of us were restored to the Lord. And we had a baptismal service one Sunday. And we went down. And Dad hadn't responded in any way as yet. We went to the water of the baptism, me and 3 of my brothers and 2 sisters and a whole host of other settlement members. And my dad, he couldn't take any more. He sat under the tree. And as he saw us coming under the water, he took off his cap when he went down into the water of baptism. He was restored to the Lord. Yeah, Dad, the God answered my mother's prayer because my mother prayed faithfully for 25 years. She prayed, believing that God would deliver, and God did deliver. Mothers, fathers, don't stop praying. Don't stop believing. Don't stop trusting. Let's do like the songwriter says, I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus. Never let me fall. I am trusting thee forever and for all. Cast your bread upon the waters. Ye who have but scant supply, angels' eyes will watch above it. You will find it by and by. He who in his holy measure doth each human action weigh, will your sacrifice remember, will your loving deeds repay. Cast thy bread upon the waters, very worn and saddened at care, often sitting in the shadows, have you not a crumb to spare? Can you not to those around you sing some little song of hope, as you gaze at loving vision through faith's mighty telescope? Cast thy bread upon the waters, ye who have abundant store. It will flow on many a billow. It may wreck on many a shore. You may think it lost forever, but as sure as God is true, in this life or in the other, it will yet return to you. Yes, digging ditches. Dig a ditch for God today. Right where you are, close your eyes and commit yourself anew to Him. Tell Him that you're trusting Him to do something great for you, for your wife, for your son, for your daughter, for your neighbor. Yes, tell him that you're depending on Him to do it. Dig a ditch today for Jesus and let Him come through like He did back here. He says, dig this valley full of ditches. This is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. Verse 20, and it came to pass, verse 20 please, in the morning when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom. Hey, get this, and the whole country was filled with water. The waters didn't come in the ditches. No. The ditches were the act of faith. They had to go by faith, but the water came. Enough water to feed the horses, to feed the men. The entire country was full. That's a great God. He does exceedingly more abundantly above all that we can ask or think. When we ask for silver, He'll give us gold. When we ask for one blessing, He'll give us five blessings. We cannot out-ask the God who can give. He gives and gives and gives. He loves to give. That's why we enjoy His blessings daily, because we know in whom we have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which we committed unto Him against that day. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, only faintly. Now we see Him with a darkling veil between, but a blessed day is coming when His glory shall be seen. Dig ditches for Jesus. Let Him come in all His fullness and prove to you and to me that He can still do great things, that He can still save the Lord, that He can still restore the backslidden, because He can do it. He's done it over and over and over again. He's done it in my heart. He's done it in my life. He's done it in yours too, because as we started in the beginning, we're not always up here. Even when we're down here, God comes just where we are, and He takes us by the hand, and lovingly, He restores us to Himself. That's why we go the home of the way. That's why we rejoice, because we know we're going. We know what awaits us. One day we'll be with Him and like Him. Yes, the entire country was filled with water, They had all they wanted and more to spare. How wonderful. God comes through. I visited Sister Nottage back there early April. And she does a loving job caring for her husband. Matter of fact, she's so faithful. One time in visiting, I didn't mean to throw this in now, but I think I will. I said to Brother Naughty, because I thought he wasn't quite with it. Sometimes his clear sense of belief and operation and thinking and talking goes a little astray. And to me, he didn't appear to be too proper that day. So I said to him, in order to encourage the wife, I said, wouldn't it be good if you had three wives like this wife? She's such a wonderful wife. He said, brother, you got to be careful how you talk like that, you know. You could get in trouble. Three wives, he said, no, one wife is all I need. When I went that day, I said, Sister Nottage, wouldn't it be good if we had a piece of grouper? She said, yeah, I love grouper. And you do too, she said, but we don't have any. I said, no, I haven't had grouper for 4 months. She said, neither have I. The following morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, the phone rang. And I answered the phone. It was a young man from Current Island. He had had a problem, had to come in to shorten their trip. He said, Cookie, come out. I have a grouper for you. I went out, I cleaned the grouper, cut it up and put her in the package, and I took it to her. She said, where did this come from? I said, that's the grouper we wanted yesterday. Yeah, that's the God we serve. That's the God we love. He will come through. He must prove himself to be God, because he knows we need the proof. He knows we need the deliverance, because he knows how frail we are, and if he doesn't show himself to us, we'll fall. That's why it's good to love him. Love him, brethren. Love him, sisters. Love him. He is worthwhile. Love him. Jesus is all the world to me. Do we usually close with a hymn, or do we close just as we are? Thank you. So, remember, brethren, sisters, my object here is to tell you that Jesus is real. Jesus is real. I've told you many instances how that he's come in this year alone, not 40 years ago. I want a God that can relate to me today. Don't you want that God? What happened a year ago? No prophet today. We need him. We need him now. We need him now. And he's there. He's there. Call upon me, he says, and I will answer. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we rejoice in our salvation. We thank you for Jesus, the one that is our Savior and our friend and our Lord, the one that has saved us and made life worthwhile living, the one that we rejoice in his goodness, and we thank you for his mercies even now. Oh, God, we are thankful that he's precious to us, but then we are precious to him. And the Holy Spirit coming and living within us, even today, how that he's been in our midst, putting our thoughts to Jesus. Oh, we pray that digging ditches just now will become a reality of us, that we'll go out and dig ditches by faith day after day, knowing that you will come through. You will answer. You will save and you will keep. Be with these people. We thank you for their loving you and serving you here through these many years. Come in and be all that they need. Give us your grace and strength and peace today, this happy Father's Day, as we commit ourselves to you and go out by faith and dig ditches for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. You can come out tonight. Maybe we'll give you the story of